Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we've got almost 5,000 participants across the world. But if this is the first time you've joined us, you're really very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. Of course, if you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. In this episode, I'll be talking about KPIs with the head of marketing at Dayshape, Lindsay Lovell, with chief commercial officer at HTech, Nick Eads, with director of BLW Studio, Beth Lloyd Wright, and with the founder of Sharper B2B Marketing, Russ Powell. Today, we continue our A to Z of business marketing. We're looking to give a primer on the very latest thinking, practices, and practical examples on every big topic in B2B land. And we've reached K. K stands for KPIs. Four experts will talk on the topic today, starting with the head of marketing at Dayshape, Lindsay Lovell. Lindsay, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, so I'm going to be talking today about marketing KPIs, but more specifically, how they deliver business impact. So I'm going to talk through that in four steps. It's not my intention to tell you what to measure. It's very easy to go onto Google and type marketing KPIs and lots of examples come up, but rather try and help you work out how to decide which KPIs you should be measuring. At Dayshape, I've been there 7 weeks, so actually it's quite a timely podcast episode, because as I'm planning out the marketing strategy and how it relates to company goals and KPIs are of course a big part of that. So yeah, it's quite good timing because I'm getting back to basics and reminding myself of the importance of KPIs. So just a bit of scene setting. I think the challenge we face now is that we are drowning in a sea of metrics, be it social media followers, bounce rates, impressions, cost per click, average lead score, email metrics, etc. So that it's hard to know which KPIs or metrics we should be focusing on. So I like to think of it like all KPIs are a metric, but not all metrics are KPIs. So how do you work out which ones are the KPIs? It's quite a patronizing tip if you take it the wrong way, but I do like to remind myself that it stands for key performance indicator, which is a really good check-in of, is this metric actually delivering some meaningful insight that's going to help me deliver or drive some kind of strategic or tactical change? I like to call that the so what test, and that's my step one. So what? Looking at your metrics and asking why am I measuring this, essentially. So in every company I've worked for, the marketing objectives have ultimately been around company growth, or more specifically revenue growth. It might be something else for your marketing function, but that's the example that I'm going to lead with. So you might be tempted to say, okay, my objective therefore is marketing generated revenue per quarter. That's my KPI. I don't actually think that works, because I believe a KPI, besides being an indicator of performance, actually should also A, have a target, and B, be able to improve on it fairly quickly. So to give you an example, in my previous role, where I was for 3 years, that was also a tech startup, as is Dayshape, where I am now. Just to set the scene, I was the first marketing hire. There was no MarTech. Emails and content were very ad hoc. So if I'd gone in with that marketing generated revenue KPI, it would have been at zero for a very long time, for several quarters. It wouldn't really be telling me anything useful at all. it was the same for deals, marketing generated deals, actually. It was just too early stage to have that as a KPI. I wouldn't have been able to improve it, and measuring it would have been pretty pointless. So I actually started with marketing generated contacts and MQLs. That was a sensible KPI to start with. I could set a target, I could move it forwards. And then also below that, I also had another tier, which I still called KPIs, but only another two or three, like organic traffic and white paper downloads were two of those examples. A purist would argue that the KPIs should be on the top level only. I don't actually agree with that. I think having those two levels, as long as it's not loads of them, having that bottom level of a KPI, it alerts you to the danger of if a dependent parent KPI is in danger. It's an indicator, right? A key performance indicator. It's indicating you that the other KPI is at danger. So I realize I'm gesticulating hierarchies here and no one can see me. So when you're doing that hierarchy though, you do need to remember that you are at risk getting into that realm of, is this a metric? Is this a KPI? So just keep asking that, so what? And even in a larger marketing team where different teams will have metrics to measure their performance, the whole function is working towards that same handful of marketing KPIs. Step two is that the KPIs need to be measurable. Ideally, they need to be easy to measure, and at the cadence you need to measure them. So step two is all about measurability. The good news is that a lot of tools record these for you. It's why we're drowning in metrics in the first place. The most pain is, you know, maybe if you want to copy and paste them all to put them in a single spreadsheet so they're all in one place. But they don't do everything. And, you know, another example from my last company, because of a lack of automation platform, I didn't actually know. To be fair, you don't even need an automation platform to do this, but there was no tracking. So I didn't know if the contacts or leads were coming from marketing. I didn't know where they were coming from. So I did have to implement that. I implemented tracking to work that out through an automation platform. Later on, when I needed to track SQLs, the integration wasn't there between the automation platform and the CRM. So then had to implement that. And this brings me on to that point around frequency. You and or your team don't want to be spending hours putting together KPI reports every week, month, quarter. So depending on how frequently you need to be measuring these KPIs, automate them as much as possible accordingly. And that frequency will depend on the context of your business. You know, if you're a fast moving SaaS or e-commerce business, you need to be looking at metrics a lot more frequently than if you're, you know, an enterprise solution that only the business only wins a couple of deals a year, for example. Step three is to set targets. I think it's important that KPIs have a target. Otherwise, if your benchmark or your starting point is zero, you're going to improve anyway. So it's the difference between, am I improving for the sake of it, or have I actually hit the goal that I wanted to achieve in the first place? So set some kind of target. It's not always easy. You can try and use industry benchmarks, but yeah, just set yourself somewhere you want to get to. Also, you could try using traffic light marks. So what does green look like? What does amber look like? What does red look like? So again, you get that early alert system if the KPI is starting to trend in the wrong direction. And my final step four, is adapt, change. You know, don't be afraid to change your KPIs. So if you start hitting all your marketing KPIs, don't just sit back and pat yourself on the back and, you know, wait for your bonus. Ask yourself, so what? Go back to that first step. Why am I still measuring this? Is it still relevant? It might be. It might be a business critical KPI, like marketing generated deals. And if so, you know, keep that KPI and keep it in the green. But also, you know, push yourself, raise that target, always try and improve. The second point in that step four is reminding yourself what the end goal was that you wanted to achieve when you first set that KPI. So if you're, you know, hitting your visitors, your contacts, your MQLs, take it to that next step. So start, you know, start measuring that KPI of SQLs, start, you know, go to that KPI of marketing generated revenue. Look at your conversion rates in the funnel. If you're, you know, a demand generation marketer, you know, what percentage of contacts are turning into MQLs, what percentage of MQLs are becoming deals, you know, put them as KPIs and try and improve them. The whole point that I'm trying to make here is that you, when you first start doing this, you've got that end goal in mind. If you can't hit that yet because you're too immature, then set those KPIs that will incrementally help you get there. And yeah, just keep refining, keep asking so what, keep changing them until you're really, that marketing function is then truly, truly delivering business impact that the CEO or the board or the MD actually cares about. And it means that you can show how marketing is helping the business grow, even if you are in that very immature stage. So just to recap, step one was ask, so what? Step two, make sure that your KPIs are measurable and easy to measure at the right cadence. Step three, set yourself some targets. And lastly, adapt, change, and don't be afraid to move on and repeat. Keep repeating. This is not a wonderful, oh, I'm done situation. And yeah, that's me. Thanks for listening. I'm Lindsay Lovell at Dayshape.
Lindsay Lovell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our second KPIs expert is business marketer and multi-CMO working in the TMT sector, Nick Eads. Nick, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Thanks, Dave. Always good to be on one of your podcasts. KPIs for me is really a very simple thing. I have always been focused on measuring what matters. And in the kind of sectors that I'm in right now and have been for the last sort of 10 years, the only thing that really matters is everything that drives profitable growth, right? So my approach to KPIs is to start what I call funnel first, and you'll get used to the fact that I talk about things like deals, not leads. Deals and leads are basically the same word. You just rotate the L and the D, and you get the answer to the problem. I think it's a great way of thinking about KPIs, because if you start with a P&L, and you should as a marketer, because if you're on the exec team and you're facing into investors, the only thing they care about is, did you grow the business profitably? That's the number one KPI by a country mile. And that, you know, people say, well, what about your reputation? Yes, that matters. But if you don't deliver the numbers, you are under inspection from your investors. So let's just start with your P&L, right? So you've got a run rate business, and then you've got a target. Let's say you're doing, easy maths, 4 million a run rate, and you've got a million to go after. Well, if your average deal size is 100K, you now know how many deals you have to close. That's the start point. Lots of marketers start with like, let's go and get some leads. Nobody cares, right? Let's go get some deals. Now everybody's listening. And everybody's listening because the KPI that matters most there is beating the target, not hitting, beating the target. So what percentage of the target did you get? All the salespeople love you if you help them beat their targets. Fantastic. CFO loves you if you've driven a KPI around the mix, right? Because mix makes margin. You've got three propositions, a small one, a medium size, and a large one. They're different levels of profitability. You can deliver the same revenue multiple different ways by changing that mix. There will be a mix, and there should be a KPI in the mix that delivers more margin in certain parts of the year and less margin in other parts of the year when you're chasing the revenue goal. So you might start at the beginning of the year driving revenue faster than margin, and the end of the year you start driving margin faster than revenue if you hit your revenue target. Just depends what kind of business you're in. So if you start in the P&L and you work up, the moment you start dividing your deal target by the number of sales folks that you have, you immediately bump into the SQL KPI. Because if you haven't agreed what an SQL looks like, you have no idea what that percentage conversion rate should be. Is it 1 in 3, 1 in 5, 1 in 10? Look, everybody talks about a funnel. A funnel, idealistically, in a B2B world, should be a tube. 1 in, 1 out. 1 lead, 1 deal. Never happens. But if you don't have that as the hang on, that's what I should be aiming for, you'll be thinking about leads, 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 and not deals, deals, deals. So your KPI, your core KPIs are, how many deals did you close, of what value, at what margin? And then depending on what kind of business you are, there's a time in the year in terms of revenue recognition. But that feeds, as I said, into the SQL rate. The SQL rate at some stage is preceded by the MQL rate. And you need to know what that is, because if you don't, let's just take Salesforce, for example. So Salesforce talks about buyer journey being discovery, interest, shortlisting, evaluation, decision, action. All of those steps should have a KPI. And first time you do it, you have no idea what they should be. And people will reach out for industry averages, other bits and pieces. Interesting. But what happens in real life, if you've properly done your segmentation, your targeting right, is you'll start to see a pattern. The moment you start to see a pattern, you can look at the fallout rates, and your KPIs around fallout rates are more interesting than the ones that aren't. So let's just say you've got a KPI to convert one in three, a 33% conversion rate from MQL to SQL. What happened to the 66? I've been in a business which has had a one in five win rate. I described that as a 4 out of 5 loss rate. All the interesting stuff is in the 4 out of 5. I know why you won the other stuff. People always win for the same reasons. We win a relationship and we lose on price. People say that all day long on the sales side of the house. Fine. Okay. Let's just see if that's true in the 4 out of 5. So your KPI, your ability to affect that KPI from 1 in 5 to 2 out of 5. You've immediately doubled the revenue. You go from 1 in 5 to 2 in 5. If you don't, and marketing can do this brilliantly because we're not salespeople. We can wander into the customer and go, you didn't choose us because? Help me understand that. That is a moment of genius because it allows you to change your performance on that key KPI, win-loss level at the SQL level and the MQL level, because you now know how to communicate to an audience. We now know how to target a market that buys in a way that you can affect. Right, you understand why they buy you, and fundamentally you understand why they don't buy you. So you have to have that diagnostic in that piece. So as you work up through SQL handover, reverse that into evaluation, reverse that into shortlist, reverse that into interest, reverse that into discovery, you can pretty soon find that if you need to close 10 deals, and if all those KPIs in reverse produce a universe that you need to address of 1,000 companies, but you only have 500 companies in your segmentation, then all your KPIs in there are all set wrong, because you're going to have to materially change how you go to market, how you position, how your sales enablement, how all of you go to market, digital or otherwise. I'm particularly buried in some stuff around performance marketing right now. And I think if people aren't using driver trees to push out back into that that pre-MQL stage, there's a lot of spray and pray going on in B2B right now, and that's just a disease from B2C, right? That's not what we do, folks. We have targeted lists. We have lots of good data. We have way more good data than in B2C world. We should be able to narrow that universe down and just reduce the dropout rate as we go from first touch down to deal, right? Closed one, right? And that, for me, is the long and the short of it, because fundamentally, you have a finite market. You can choose the accounts you want to win. Therefore, you should be able to work out every single KPI to deliver the target number that you need to deliver for the P&L. And if you start at the end, as in the P&L, and reverse back up the pipe, you'll have a better understanding of what you need to do stage by stage, KPI by KPI, and what you can affect as a marketer, and what your relationship with the product people should be able to do. I mean, between marketing and product, we should be able to do primary research to find out why we've got a huge fallout rate pre-MQL. That might be the product might be terrible, but no one's telling the product people. You've got to use that diagnostic stage. So the great thing about KPIs is they're measurable. Everything's measurable digitally, but the measurability gives you the action plan to go and change what is happening. That KPIs are not for looking at. They're an indicator telling you to do something.
Nick Eads, thank you very much. Our third KPIs expert is the director at BLW Studio, Beth Lloyd Wright. Beth, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thanks, Dave. KPIs. So ironically, despite my expertise in digital and social media marketing, this is my least favourite topic. Most clients and marketing peers I speak to at the moment are also struggling with this. It's a constant conversation for me lately, and it seems that we're not alone. The Nielsen Annual Marketing Report, actually released just in May this year, stated that fewer than 20% of marketers say they feel confident in their ability to measure ROI, or return on investment. I mean, wow, fewer than 20%. And currently, most marketers are relying heavily on digital, naturally so, given the pandemic. And along with keeping customers and clients, one of our biggest business goals is customer acquisition in 2021, especially. So how can we best measure that when the majority of marketing professionals actually are unsure about what KPIs to track and measure for success? The way I see it, there are two core issues here: the lack of confidence to report and the lack of knowledge to report. And I strongly believe that confidence is the greater challenge. I don't like to assume that us as marketers don't really know what we're doing. We definitely know what we're doing. So it's down to confidence here. Because the answer is also relatively simple, but can be overly complicated, especially so in the early days. For example, setting up KPI templates, UTM tracking, conversion pixels, goal setting on Google Analytics, et cetera, et cetera. And on top of this, we can often be sidetracked by our senior and board level stakeholders' questions, because they too don't understand how to measure digital ROI. What a vicious cycle. Another element to consider here too is the wealth of data available to us: impressions, website visits, visitor time on site, clicks, likes, comments, shares, click-through rate, engagement rate, form submissions, downloads, traffic source. I could go on and on. And that's just the stats you can analyze before paying for any digital advertising too. It's no surprise then that the majority of marketers are at an impasse when it comes to KPIs. Which ones do you track? What do you feed back to your organization? What metrics actually matter? How I've come to accept the KPIs challenge and manage it is actually to collect as much data as possible. All of it, as much as possible. And I appreciate that that doesn't sound simple on the surface. But as marketers, I don't think we can assess our success effectively if we don't have the full picture. But all this data is not really useful for every campaign, every stakeholder, or every business. This is where our trusty friend, the sales and marketing funnel, comes in. If you can assign certain KPIs to each stage of the customer journey and buying cycle, you'll be more clearly able to attribute digital marketing effectiveness. Ultimately, all KPIs need to be aligned to your business objectives, because trying to be everything to everyone at the same time means you could just end up with random acts of tactics and peaks and troughs in the data, no serious long-term improvement in any one area. Not ideal when you've got senior stakeholders, you know, really pushing for their bottom line results. Ultimately, when you're reporting upwards, understanding that bottom line is the most important metric overall, because it justifies your true ROI. With the wealth of metrics at your disposal, you need to use the data to tell a story. And doing that's going to enable you to provide more valuable insights: what's working, what's not, and why. And also bring conversations with those stakeholders to a more strategic focus. So, what KPIs are most useful? For social media specifically, you could look at it like this. If your business objective is to deliver significant business growth, then your marketing goals may be for awareness, be better known in your core markets, for engagement, to develop strong relationships with clients, and conversion, maybe it's about increasing sales qualified leads. And then the social KPIs and the tactics that support this would include impressions and reach, combined engagements, so likes, shares, retweets, etc., and visits to website, and then downloads and demand generation, conversion side. It's a pretty rudimentary way to look at it, but you can start to see how much more clear the story becomes when you take all that data and simplify it into what matters to your business. on their own, especially likes and comments on social, are just vanity metrics. They don't really matter in isolation, unless your marketing goal is to increase in-channel engagement on LinkedIn, for example, then absolutely, they are very important. The story you build with the KPIs also helps with experimentation. So over time, you can build a better, more informed view about your marketing activities, what's worked for what particular goal, and even better, ultimately, understand more about your customers and what they respond to. To support your efforts when it comes to measuring KPIs, it's useful to have a decent MarTech stack. But again, knowing your core business objectives first will help refine the options. For me, as I predominantly work with social media, the raw data from each platform is far more accurate and informative than any pretty looking report Hootsuite or Sprout Social give you. I've also had great experience with Meltwater in the past, and I'd definitely recommend them as a great tool for social listening as well as reporting. In fact, speaking of Meltwater, they released a report in collaboration with Harvard Business Review in summer last year titled "A Blueprint to Help Companies Fully Capitalize on Social Media Investments." In the report, Neil Schaefer, this author and speaker and CEO of an agency called PDCA Social, is heavily quoted throughout and shares some awesome insights about the future of social media ROI. He has a clear view that it's not necessarily the place to market your product or service, which quite honestly just baffled me, because it's very common for us as marketers to jump to social and actually treat it in that way, very much a broadcast tool. But he liked to suggest that it was a great place to develop relationships with people. And this goes beyond building communities that, you know, often we talk about in social media circles, but resonating deeply with people to find customer insights. He talks about assessing the value of social by giving more weight to how the relationship you build with your customers leads to, for example, improved product development. So really measuring the quality of relationships that provide that business change rather than the metrics I've been talking about. However, whilst this is inspiring and very useful, I don't believe that approach fully lends itself very well to SMEs and service-based businesses. Metrics still matter, but B2B marketers could start preparing for the incorporation of relationship-based KPIs in the near future. Ultimately, spend the time now getting this right. Speak to your stakeholders, define your goals, keep your KPIs updated regularly, and get into the habit of checking stats across your key channels regularly. Record, 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 and your professional instinct will go a long way. But if you can back it up with some figures, then that's all the better.
That's great advice, even if it's not on your favourite subject. Beth Lloyd-Wright, thank you very much. Our fourth KPIs expert is the founder of Sharper B2B Marketing, Russ Powell. Russ, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Dave. So yeah, we're talking about KPIs, and essentially marketing is awash with KPIs. We've got them coming out of our ears. We can't move for the flipping things. They are absolutely everywhere. Every activity, every channel, every tactic has their own special set of three-letter acronyms, or TLAs if you want to get meta, that tell you how things are going and give you that indication of performance. That is key. And you know what? I bloody love it. Bring me your dashboards, show me your reports, lend me your analysis. Which marketer worth their salt doesn't love to nerd out over some really rich data or get all hot and bothered by some sexy, sexy metrics? They're all great. They're all wonderful. They are all valid in their own special way. But they also present us a problem. And it's a pretty big one that we will have all faced or will face as marketers. It's that no one else seems to give a shit. The performance indicators that are key to us don't seem to be to anyone else, do they? By and large, it's only really marketers who care about CPCs, bounce rates, CPLs, traffic sources, CPAs, etc. Would a sales director or a CFO know about, let alone care about, any of these? Probably not. But when we're let out to talk to the rest of the business, it's more often than not done so in full-on marketer mode, chucking KPIs around like they're confetti at a wedding. We either stat vomit, We go, oh yeah, 40.2% increase in traffic, 3,000 plus impressions and 1,000,000% better at everything. Or we speak so much garbled market English that our attribution modeling has really helped us drive down CPAs whilst getting a real understanding of our buyer's journey. That we're left having to measure a brand new KPI, which I like to call the WLPM, which is the weird looks per minute. It's the count of how many times someone who's not a marketer gives you a weird look as if to say, are you all right, mate, per minute when you're trying to explain to them what your latest marketing activity delivered for the business. And then we wonder why the rest of our businesses don't get marketing or seem to take it seriously. It's because we continue to leave them asking that age-old question, so what? So what can we do to answer that so what question and shrink our WLPM down to zero? And really the key to this is focusing on the one KPI that is the KPI the whole business will care about. The big daddy, the keyest of all of the key performance indicators, revenue. Everything marketing and marketers do should influence that one big KPI in some way or the other. We all have a commercial responsibility to our businesses that cannot and should not be ignored. Now, I appreciate the touch may be lighter and the distance to recognise revenue may be longer for some, but if that's the case, what we do as marketers still needs to demonstrate how it will have a positive influence on reeling in some more sweet, sweet cash down the line. So if you're creating content, it's not going to generate you any dosh right here, right now, but we can work out how many people saw it. How many people did it cause to make an inquiry? How many of those people that inquired had seen other content that we produced before? It's all about identifying that pool of buyers. We're running brand awareness campaigns. Again, they're not going to generate you revenue straight away, but if you can demonstrate and prove engagement with the target audience you want to go after consistently over time, and maybe even learn a little something about them in the process, it all leads to marketing and the business positively influencing those potential buyers. But a word of caution, don't over-egg the pudding and go too far the other way. Now, it may seem like a really good thing to do to appease your revenue literate colleagues, but you can end up overcompensating and shooting yourself in the foot from a completely different angle. So to explain that, here's a real world example. So back in one of my client side roles, I was working under a marketing director who was obsessed with revenue and obsessed with a capital O. Everything we did had to have a revenue figure attached to it, and a big one at that, so we could report it back to sales. So I was running an outbound campaign, contact opened an email, hit a landing page, and requested a call. Of course they did. I know how to run a campaign, insert wink emoji. Lovely stuff, right? Like a nice fresh MQL for our sales guys to follow up on and qualify further. So I went to log it in CRM and was told that that brand new MQL had to go in the CRM with a value of £100 million. Not a typo, not a misspeech on my part, £100 million. Why? Because that contact had requested a call about a cloud computing solution, which apparently had an average deal size of £100 million. What? And so even if that goes into the pipeline with a 1% weighting, I'm giving my sales colleagues a massively skewed number that they then have to go and try and close. So put it in CRM, give the sales guy a tap on the shoulder, and he quite rightfully sends my weird looks per minute rate into the thousands, immediately changes the value to 20K and then just cracks on qualifying the deal, scratching his head and wondering what the hell marketing are playing at once again. So you can go one way, you can go the other way, but what are the key takeaways from this session perched upon my KPI-based soapbox? Well, there's three I've got for you. So the first is that absolutely love and cherish your KPIs dearly. They tell you how you're doing, how channels are performing, and where opportunities lie. You've got to understand the what, how, and why of your marketing so you can drive the best results possible. If it's working, do more of it. If it's not, try something else. But when you're taking these results out to the business, make sure you don't lead to a dreaded so what question. Stop speaking market English, start speaking business, and make what you're doing relevant to the people you want to care about what you're doing. And ensure you can strike the right balance in doing that. you've got to remember, you do have a commercial responsibility to your business, and revenue is what people care about. But made up, fanciful, unachievable revenue that will never be recognized isn't going to help you in any way. So be careful not to overcompensate. So that's my thought on KPIs.
Russ Powell of Sharper B2B Marketing, thanks very much.
Cheers.
And that's it. That's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, to Lindsay Lovell, Nick Eads, Beth Lloyd Wright, and Russ Powell. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye of Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn, and Josh Bench. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. But I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.